chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may dab in the middle of it. Grass may dab in the middle. We are grass may dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got our first clip here, and it's an extended clip because it's just got too much important information on it. Anyway, Alex is interviewing Dr. Stephen Greer about the space and disclosure and all that. And there are new signs that they're going to make major releases of this the alien question and the UFOs and things like that. And after World War II, they smuggled a bunch of Nazis into this country, and they headed up the space program. And this thing is so contrived by, you know, Nazis from Nazi Germany post-World War II, that it's really, really hard to exactly explain in just a few words. But here's Dr. Greer and Alex right now. Here we go now.
All right. Long before NASA existed, in every ancient culture, they have carvings and hieroglyphs in Sanskrit of what looks like Apache helicopters, what looks like 747s, what looks like all sorts of Apache helicopters. I mean, just the beginning of it. Why is this carved on the walls at the Great Pyramid in Egypt? What's going on here? And then you have all the secret societies trying to suppress knowledge about this going back. You have Genesis describing things that could only, you know, be what we see in modern UFOlogy, or close encounters of the third kind is what the book of Ezekiel sounds like to me. So what's really happening here? We know we don't know the real history of the planet. We know it's been shrouded in secrecy. But now, not since the end of World War II, have we seen so much unidentified flying object activity. A lot of people say, well, are there unidentified flying objects? Well, that's just like saying, are there aliens? We know there's a lot of unidentified flying objects. That's anything that you don't know what it is. Could be a weather balloon, could be sunspots, who knows? But clearly, Hollywood and the establishment is preparing us for something big. We've got pieces of this puzzle, but Dr. Stephen Greer is one of the world's foremost, if not the most foremost, authorities on UFOs, extraterrestrial intelligence, and technologies, and initiating peaceful contact with interstellar civilizations for over 30 years. I'm not going to go over his whole background of the secret projects he worked in, but he certainly predicted a lot of what's unfolding now, and that gives him a lot of credibility. He's also made quite a few films, like Unacknowledged and Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, and Contact Has Begun. Dr. Stephen Greer on Twitter, Facebook, Dr. Stephen Greer, Instagram, Dr. Stephen Greer, and the website, www.SiriusDisclosure.com, like in Sirius the Dog Star. So we appreciate him coming on. We got about 45 minutes in airtime in this hour. I could talk to him for 10 hours. But if you'll just kind of boil down the big picture from your big, vast pool of knowledge, 35,000-foot view, and then drill into all these accelerating occurrences that we're seeing in mainstream media and the Pentagon, basically saying get ready for some major disclosures that you've been talking about for so long.
Sure, and a great intro by Greg Reese. He did a great job with that, by the way. And I think what the public needs to understand is this is a 75-year strategic plan that we're seeing unfurl before our eyes, and it's very worrisome because the prediction was made by no less than the Nazi rocket scientist Wernher von Braun to his spokesperson, Dr. Carol Rosen, who will be with me on this coming Sunday, the 25th of April, doing a 20th anniversary of the Disclosure Project event. And he told her on his deathbed in 1974 and 5 and 6 that there had been a plan made where they would hoax an alien threat, and that this alien threat would be rolled out slowly through an indoctrination and psychological warfare, but there would be a scaling up with all kinds of staged wars. And she actually saw, when she worked for an aerospace contractor as one of the first women executives, a plan in the 1970s up and through now to this day, outlining things like the Iraq War and 9/11. These were all things that were planned out, if not the specifics of it, the general thrust of it. So this sort of endless war scenario is something that's been known, and our group has known about for a very long time. When I first began to brief the director of the CIA, for example, in 1993, Bill Clinton's first CIA director, Woolsey, he and the president were being denied all information on this. Now it's going right mainstream into the mainstream government. But what you're going to notice is that the spin they're putting on it always is that it's a threat to the national security. Now, interestingly, like the videos that you're, some of these you've been showing, those aren't extraterrestrial alien threats. Those are ours. And they're staging these things over our military bases and over our Navy ships to try to present a specter of a threat. And this is the classic false flag operation. And people say, when did it start? I said it started in the mid-1950s. I have a document from the CIA director at that time stating explicitly, and this is in my book, Unacknowledged, that, and the documentary as well, that says that the psychological warfare value of this subject should be exploited. And there are a number of attachments that we did not get, but the document makes it quite clear that this is what they would be doing with the UFO subject. So unfortunately, the public, through, as you pointed out, Hollywood, most of the big media, which is all corrupt and embedded into this transnational criminal clandestine organization known as MAGIC, the Majority Intelligence Committee, a great acronym, MAGIC, because they do a lot of dark black magic as well, but we won't get into that. And the Majority Intelligence Committee, those guys have gone through several generations of people, and there's a lot of conflict in that group now, but there's one cell of it that are beginning to, quote, leak, which aren't leaks at all, footage like you've been showing from CNN and news around the world, and invariably you'll see that the narrative says, oh, this is a threat to our national security. Well, it's kind of absurd because most of the footage they've been showing are footage of our own clandestine anti-gravity aircraft flying over our own bases, U.S. clandestine
And let's talk about, as high level as you were, the compartmentalization. 99% of the military doesn't know about this, and there's, as you said, a breakaway scientific dictatorship above that. And we should also look at how that recruiting works. How did you get, because, I mean, maybe one out of, what, 10,000 scientists even gets approached. They approached my dad when he was in high school in Plan 2. He thought he volunteered for NASA. By the time he became a senior in high school, they called him in and said, that's not what we're doing. He didn't like it, so he didn't join the project. But my dad was approached because he had some of the highest test scores in the country.
Well, you know, I started a project that the reason I got on the radar, and, of course, I've never worked for the government. I was certainly offered a position. I know your viewers are going to think that I'm making this up, but I'm not. In 1992, the head of Army Intelligence, General Albert Stubblebine III, offered me $2 billion, with a B, dollars, if I would leave my medical career and join their little group of thugs and fascists. And I said, no, thank you. He then went to my wife, who your producer's been dealing with, and try to convince her to convince me. That is how corrupt this group is. Now, why they offered me $2 billion, I think is because I started, if you go to CE5 contact at your app store, you're going to see we have an app that teaches people how to make contact with the actual ETs, not the fake ones. And we began to do that in the early 90s. And in 1992, we successfully vectored onto a beach near Pensacola craft very close to us, four of them, and this ended up on the front page of the Pensacola paper. And the result of that was that I kicked a hornet's nest, because the next thing you know, I'm being approached by the head of Army Intelligence and people from the CIA and National Security Agency trying to get inside and figure out what the hell we're doing. Because basically what I had to come to the conclusion was that the civilizations, the actual ET civilizations, or people call them alien, I don't use that word because they think you're talking about someone from Guatemala, that those civilizations are very peaceful, but they're extremely concerned about our hostility. And here's what happened, Alex. When we began to detonate atomic and then nuclear, thermonuclear weapons, those not only destroy the area over the Earth where they're detonated, those create a scalar, faster than the speed of light, trans-dimensional pulse that actually damages other worlds and the superhighway.
Sure, it's blowing holes in other dimensions.
Correct, and it's very dangerous. And so that's why in the 40s,
that's 50s, all that 60s, stuff suddenly showed up as soon as we did it.
Yes, sir. That's exactly, and they know that. But instead of being reasonable, the military-industrial complex that became transnational at the end of World War II, it wasn't just the United States. And on this event, on this coming Sunday, we are going to have Senator John Warner, who is a member of this committee with George Bush Sr. and others. His son, who is also the grandson of Paul Mellon, who was a fascist who started the CIA with Alan Dulles, on record talking about his family's involvement on this. This is an explosive interview. It's a three-hour interview. We're just going to show some clips of it. But he admits that his grandfather, Paul Mellon, went over to Germany.
I wasn't let in on this. I'm told we have the clips. We'll be right back. But I've known that the globalists are into the occult. I've known that NASA was founded by occultists. That's even mainstream news now. Back when I was talking about it 25 years ago, people thought I was crazy, just like when you were talking about it. Now there's, you know, major network TV shows about it. So you're right, a revealing's happening. But from my research of the Illuminati, going back to Solomon and all this, it's about contacting these other dimensional entities. That's how they're really communicating with them. They're not coming from distant star systems. And whether people believe us or not, the elites do. And now the former head of Israeli intelligence came out, as you know, last month and said, we're in contact with them, we're working with them since Eisenhower. Now, whether that's true or not, the big disclosure you predicted is here, but you said there'd be a false disclosure 20 years ago. And I would listen to you on big national shows like Art Bell and then George Norrie, and I thought this guy sounds credible, but I'm not going there because all the things he said haven't happened yet. Now it's happening just as you said it would. So I want to speak to that, but first I want to ask you, the globalists obviously have got their own systems, their own advanced technology. That's been leaked. When I was about 7 years old, we were coming back from our ranch in East Texas, driving back to Dallas where my grandmother lived, and we were on I-45. And I'll never forget, my dad goes, look at that. And three stealth fighters that they didn't roll out for 20-something years, 30 years, but they were gray and blue camouflage style, not like the black ones, were flying at 200 feet. And I'm like, those are spaceships. My dad goes, no, those are secret aircraft. Those are some type of advanced aircraft. But I saw what later I saw them unveil in 1989 in, like, you know, 1980 or whatever, or I guess 1979. So that's an example of this. This is a shorter segment, but just big picture here. Who are they communicating with? Because it seems to me like they're communicating with something bad that's anti-human, and that the globalists have teamed up with something very evil, and it fits into Christian cosmology.
Well, I think that the what we call these transnational clandestine operations, they're not contacting extraterrestrials. They're contacting beings often from other dimensions, and people confuse these two things. So there are other dimensions that have all kinds of, you know, as Monsignor Balducci at the Vatican said, he says, look, neither demons nor angels need flying saucers. So it's complicated because a lot of people are conflating, confusing extraterrestrial intelligence and beings from other star systems, which are quite evolved and universally not hostile, with beings from other dimensions. And, you know, people give me, you know, I know one of the key people of this group. He and his wife are very involved in Satan and devil activity, and they publish some crazy newsletter called The Devil's Hammer and what have you. So, you know, that's sort of certainly not my expertise. I'm dealing more
with
that.
Sure, you brought up Jack Parsons. I mean, it's on record. They were Satan worshipers, Aleister Crowley. So the group running this is into Satanism, and I was asking why.
Well, because they like dark power. It's like someone once told me that some of the people on this committee, they very much get a thrill out of torture, death, destruction. They have this really thickness. And, you know, in medicine, we call these people high-functioning sociopaths. And I think that this is a big problem because the very good people, for example, when I've been at the Pentagon briefing, for example, General Patrick Hughes, who was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Oh, listen, I know a lot of the top people like you do. All of them take this completely serious. The general public doesn't
know. Oh, yeah, they do.
It's deadly serious, the Pentagon.
Oh, it is. But the thing is that that gentleman wasn't read into or briefed on any of this because he was a good guy. It's like when I was at Lord Hill Norton's home in the United Kingdom, he told me, he was Minister of Defense, he was a five-star admiral. He says, they wouldn't tell me a damn thing about this. I said, no, because you're not willing to go along with a criminal operation that's international that is killing the planet and is doing one war, endless war after another. And they're planning the big one. And the big one is what we're exposing on Sunday at this webinar. It's seriousdisclosure.com. You can find out about it. But we're going to have Senator John Warner's son and his interview there. We're going to have Russian cosmonauts. We're going to talk about what has happened in their country.
Let me ask you this. I privately met with astronauts. They told me similar things. One of them said it on air, and we'll talk about that next segment. But big picture then, what's the timetable for them to do the big fake ET landing? How do you see that unfolding?
Actually, the psychological warfare for that began in the 50s. Many of the events that people know about, like the Cash Landrum affair that happened down there in your state in Texas, that was in reality us test flying an ET craft that went bad that then sprayed radiation on all the people below there. Look up the Cash Landrum case. We're going to have testimony from an Air Force officer, and this Air Force officer was the primary investigator of this accident and said, no, we were piloting that with a man-made plutonium power plant, but it was an ET shell, the infrastructure, the superstructure, I should say, of the craft. So these things have been going on for decades. They get thrown to people as if they were some alien event, and they're glad for the public to do that. Now, the big one that's coming, we're seeing unfurled before our very eyes in the mainstream news media, where every few days the Pentagon is, quote, leaking or confirming some harassment of our Navy vessels and what have you. You notice the language is always threatening. And as one of them recently said, one of the people who's a disinformation agent, Luis Elizondo, said to our attorney, Daniel Sheehan, he said point blank, he says, the only way we can get more money is to present this as a threat. So this is all about a power and money grab. I mean, if civilizations that advanced were actually a threat, it would have been all over, Alex, with the day we detonated that first atomic bomb and it ripped a hole in space-time that went into other dimensions, including other planetary systems, faster than the speed of light. So I think people need to understand that the public, by being brainwashed, and you mentioned this whole COVID situation. I'm a medical doctor, emergency doctor, and some of the things that are being done are really not for public health reasons. They are to control the masses and to beta test their control system over the masses. But that's a warm up to what's coming. And we're like Paul Revere here when we said, look, the British are coming. We're trying to warn people. We're cosmic Paul Revere's, you and me, where we're trying to say, look, there's this hoax cosmic threat that they have been planning for 75 years, and now they're starting to unfurl it. And here's how we stop it. This is how let me explain how we're going to stop this. Expose it. Because if what we're going to do, and this is going to be turned into a documentary, we're going to do an emergency release on a documentary, no commercial distribution. Everyone will be able to put it on their sites, including yours, for free. And it's called The Cosmic Hoax. And it will actually show the technologies, the actual schematics of the man-made anti-gravity craft, the events that they have hoped and what they're planning to do. Because if we can get a billion people throughout the world to see that, it will stop them from doing it. Why? Because we will expose their dirty little trick in advance. And Alex, as you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we can prove and show to the public this is what they're trying to do, the public won't be fooled the way they were on 9/11. Right.
All right. Understand, Greer, stay right there. We're going to come back and talk about how we can deal with this, because there's no doubt what he's saying 20 years ago is coming true. And there's a lot of documents to back it up. And you had the former head of Israeli intelligence come out and say this just a month ago. We'll be right back. All right. I go off the facts, and I couldn't get people to understand the Federal Reserve was private when I was first on air 27 years ago. Now everybody knows that. And I go off the science, I go off the research, and I can tell you, I've been around Hollywood, I've been around some of the globalists. They're all into the occult. None of them are atheists. They believe they're going to become gods and break away with the super science. They believe their main mission is like Arthur C. Clarke's Childhood's End. They've got to get rid of us to then become this God creature. And even Elon Musk meets with the globalists. He's come out and said, I've met with them. They got a plan to get rid of everybody. They pray to AI gods. You've seen Bill Joy of Sun Microsystems write articles and give similar speeches that, you know, hey, does the public know they're planning to get rid of you? Dr. Greer, I know you just go off of your own research, who you brief, briefing President Clinton, seeing him blocked from his investigations. I've seen the prestigious groups that you've interviewed. Guys, can you put it on screen? The retired head of Israeli intelligence basically came out and said that the government's already in contact with these creatures. Former Israeli space chief says U.S. in contact with Galactic Federation of Aliens, and Trump knows. That's Fox News. Now, either he's lying as part of the PSYOP, or it's really going on. I mean, this is here. This is ripe. But then I study DMT, and I've talked to people, medical doctors that have been to these things in Costa Rica and places where 30, 40 people take it. They usually do it at old ritual sites, which I see as like centers where this energy is coming in. And they'll see all the same thing at the same time. It's not laser lights. It's not, they're having a group hallucination or the veil's being lifted. Something's happening when you take that drug and we know the optic nerve is blocking out a lot of stuff because we couldn't handle seeing all this. So this is all coming to a head. As you said, two separate things or hundreds of different things. So your deep understanding of this, try to quantify for folks what's really going on, because it doesn't seem like it's there. It's very biblical that some humans have allied themselves with something that's giving them forbidden knowledge, but only if they agree to destroy humanity in payment.
Well, I think it's a relatively small number of people who are involved with that way out lunatic stuff. But what they're very good at doing is deliberately obfuscating and confusing the picture. So, for example, they will mix in experiences people have had with these beings from other dimensions and call it alien. That's why I don't use the word alien. I use the word extraterrestrial biological entities, civilizations from other planetary systems, and then I'll talk about interdimensional creatures. And these are two separate things. Then the reason they deliberately want to conflate them is that because most people aren't going to understand other dimensions, they can understand, you know, like War of the Worlds or Independence Day, the movie. So what they really want to do is control people through fear and endless war. And the only way to do that is to mix together these various areas of investigation. And they're scientific. Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to probably blow your listeners' minds. I've worked with a man who is a senior engineer at the Lockheed Skunk Works in a place called the Cube under the desert in California. And in that area, they had people hooked up to electronic devices where they didn't need a drug. They could do it electronically, where they could tap into these other dimensions, not extraterrestrials, and bring those monsters into the lab. And they would come into from one dimension into 3D and be running around. Now, I know this sounds like something like out of Stranger Things, but guess what? Those guys listen to what I've been saying over the years, and they turn it into these fictional, you know, silly movies and shows. But the truth is, the deliberate confusion of this. So you have three things going on, and I'm glad you brought this up. You have actual extraterrestrial events. You have interdimensional beings, what you just described. And then you have the man-made craft, but also the stagecraft, because you have intelligence operations that have used, of course, we have an intel guy who's on camera, Air Force, who said, yeah, well, in the old days, we just used short guys or people had deformities and dressed them up to be aliens. But now they have what are called programmed life forms, which are sort of genetically created creatures with integrated circuits in their cerebral cortex.
It's a biological android. Like,
yeah, and they look like an alien, and they would fool most people, I would say most scientists. But the truth is, they're not. They're man-made, but they have been used in abductions and mutilations and things of this sort. So you have all this stuff. Why are they deliberately mushing all this together? Because it creates the specter of fear. And as Goebbels said,
fear of the unknown, they're trying to write the new cosmology and set themselves up as the saviors. It makes perfect sense.
Well, yeah, because then people also, remember, people give up their freedom and their power when they're afraid and they run the big brother. And so they want to create this sort of global big brother that everyone will bow down to. And what better way to do it than to have something that they claim is attacking the entire Earth?
Well, remember Henry Kissinger's quote? He later got asked about it. He said, no, I made that quote, where he said, fear of the unknown, fear of the alien, we'll use that to take full control and the world will accept UN occupation.
Correct. And that's, this is, of course, he was a major architect of these covert programs. And you know, he continues to have that influence, decades later. And I've been with a number of people on this committee. And it was very interesting when I was at one of the breaks, we're about to talk about Senator John Warner's son, who's around my age. And he's the grandson of Andrew Mellon, one of the few billionaires at the end of World War II. And he says, look, he told me my whole family are fascists. And at the end of World War II, Paul Mellon went over to Germany and got the Nazi disc and brought it back. It was anti-gravity. It wasn't the ramjet one, the real one. Brought it back with Alan Dulles and General Patton. General Patton was wanting to bring this out to bring, you know, relief to humanity, help rebuild the world. They killed him in what looked like a traffic accident, staged, because General Patton wanted to do the right thing for America and for the planet. So you have these people who are absolutely fascist. And in terms of occult stuff, if you look at the tools and what have you, way back in the Nazi era, those were all people who were into the occult. So there's a dark end to this. Now, there's a very beautiful end of it. And the actual interstellar civilizations are more like the beings in the movie Arrival or A Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that movie. But they don't want the public to know that. And this is one of my concerns about even Fox News and Tucker Carlson. He's only had people on there like Chris Mellon, who is also a Mellon, and Senator Warner's son, John Warner IV, said flat out to me in this interview, you'll see it on clips of it on Sunday when we do this webinar for the 20th anniversary of the Disclosure Project. And he flat out says that he's furious that a fellow Mellon is lying to the American people. Because what Chris Mellon is saying is, well, they're a threat to the national security, and, oh, we don't know what they are, and we don't know how these move faster than the speed of sound without a sonic boom. And John Warner IV flat out says that's a lie. And it's a lie because they want to preserve the element of surprise by not letting your listeners and the American public know that we already have reverse engineered these ET craft, and we're hoaxing stuff all the time.
Well, what you said 20 years ago, and I listened keenly, you said they're going to start building it up. You're going to see the major governments announce it. They're sort of harassing the military bases. It's going to build to a crisis. And then you get into what happens next. And so far, you've been dead on. So when we come back, the final segment with Dr. Stephen Greer, he's going to lay out that if we're unable to expose this, what's going to happen, what we're going to witness, what we're going to see. And it's just crazy because so many things he's saying, I personally have run into people that basically told me the same stuff about these projects. And again, I go back to my dad. And they tried to recruit my dad in high school and college. And then in Dallas, he was a pioneer in implants just for dental stuff. And they approached a bunch of the top implant people and said, we want you to move to Maryland. You're going to be an underground base 2 months on, 1 month off. We'll pay you all this money. It's classified, but it deals with implants and cyborgs. That's industrial level. That's how many professionals they're recruiting, and he didn't even take that job. So that's just with my dad, those two brushes with this, and then, of course, all the things I've experienced, how the globalists have tried that. The Kissinger Group, in front of my producer, tried to hire me and said, join the New World Order. So, I mean, I know how real this is, folks. We'll be right back. Infowars.com. Tomorrow's news today. All right, final segment with Dr. Stephen Greer. He's going to be out of town the next few weeks after a special Sunday seminar, but he's agreed to do an hour and a half commercial-free podcast we do every Saturday now that's so popular that we post a band on video. So that's coming up the next 3-4 weeks. Look forward to having him on commercial-free so we have a lot more time to talk and not be interrupted. But here's the Fox News article. It was also in Haaretz and Jerusalem Post. Former Israeli space chief, who's also intelligence head, says U.S. in contact with Galactic Federation of Aliens and Trump knows. He's very well-spoken. He's not senile. Ished told Israel's Yedot newspaper that humanity's not ready the public disclosure of extraterrestrials, who he claims currently are in talks with government agencies on our planet. There's an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens. They signed a contract with us to do experiments here. From what you know, Dr. Greer, is this more disinfo? Is this part of the the plan build this up, because he's not saying they're a threat. But in all the propaganda we see, they are saying they're a threat. So what's going on here?
It's both. Now, remember, when someone like this leaks or says something, that's been cleared, and it has one part truth and then another part that's not. And that's the way you get disinformation out, to brainwash the public, is that you always include some of it has to be true. So what part of it is true? President Eisenhower did have a meeting with extraterrestrials near Muroc, California, in 1956. I have the French intelligence service gave me documents about that when I was doing things with President Sarkozy and his Ministry of Defense a few years ago. Now, what happened, and it's more complex, Eisenhower wanted to do something that would be a peaceful contact with these civilizations and roll down the Cold War that was starting up, because he was wearied out by World War II and wanted the world to be peaceful. And also, there were some wondrous technologies that would benefit all of humanity. I mean, all this stuff about global warming and pollution, yeah, the world's polluted. It's a cesspool, but it doesn't have to be. So that could have happened. Here's what happened instead. People like Paul Mellon and Alan Dulles and people at the CIA who were tied into these global clandestine organizations, they stopped Eisenhower, and Eisenhower died a very bitter, sad man about this issue. And that's why he gave that speech when he left office just before Jack Kennedy came in, beware of the military-industrial complex. I mean, this is a five-star general saying that. So, yes, there were...
He also said, that they never played the full speech, 21-minute farewell address. He says there's a technological elite in control of this that's taking over.
Yes, correct. And that had already happened to him, because I've interviewed people who worked with Eisenhower who said he was basically pushed out. Now, why did that happen? Because they didn't want peace. They want endless war. And so... some of what the general in Israel said is true, but the implication that there's some kind of ongoing cooperation is not. And it's because the extraterrestrial civilizations, they are not wanting to go along with something where we're going to be putting endless weapons into space and having interplanetary conflict. And let me say something else about the technology. Everyone has heard of mutual assured destruction, MAD. If we had a nuclear war, it would end all life on Earth, full stop. If you were to engage the technologies that allow for interstellar travel, which is 1,000 times more powerful than a hydrogen bomb, into an exchange of warfare, it would be over writ large in a nanosecond. The entire Earth would be cut in half and would become rubbish out in space. So the idea that we're going to have this space war is ridiculous. Now, unfortunately, I was involved in providing briefing materials to President Trump and Pence. I'll say that now publicly, they're out of office. They had been brainwashed by members of this cabal, as Greg Reese called it, that there was this threat that we needed to fight. And unfortunately, they were presented with a false narrative.
Well, that's huge news. Give us more details. So you briefed directly or through their subordinates, the president, vice president?
Through a very close friend of Mr. Pence's family, and who's also very close friends with the president and his son. And so I was providing these materials. Unfortunately, it was late in the game, then the election and all that debacle happened. But what we were trying to do, we learned that he and members, key members of the Senate, had been targeted with disinformation, and that it had worked, and that they had unfortunately created a crisis within the administration on this issue, and I was trying to resolve it when, of course, the election happened and all hell broke loose. But the reality of it, and I haven't spoken of this. I can prove what I'm saying, by the way. We have documents to prove this. The unfortunate thing is that the president, when you get into the White House, if you're, you know, a governor from Indiana like Mr.
You're totally
Pence,
surrounded, or, you're compartmentalized. I mean, they yes. admit that they would take executive orders he signed and throw them in the trash.
Yes, and not only that, but if you're wanting to find out about something, what are they going to do? They're going to cherry pick and even make up evidence to move you in the direction they want you to move in.
Sure, and that's why you didn't believe the intelligence briefing. So let me ask you this. I know you're looking at this ballpark, dead reckoning it, but clearly they're building up towards something big. Any time frame? Where will they have the aliens, the fake aliens land? Will they have them attack? I mean, because all the Hollywood is always the attack, attack. And clearly, That's where this is going.
Yeah, there's a new Apple TV series or show about this. It's going to be sort of a redux of like Independence Day sort of nonsense. My understanding is that could have happened quite a number of years ago, but there are people like myself and my group that have been running interference on it. And there are some people very angry with us about this. The way we're going to stop it, if we can, is to get 1 billion people or 2 billion people to understand the actual technologies humans have that would enable them to hoax this. Because right now, if you go to Fox News, no one on that network is allowed to say Lockheed.
Oh, I know. When I talk to really smart people, Lockheed Martin, you know, Skunk Works, when I talk to them, they think it's more crazy that the Pentagon has advanced technology that they even have admitted they have versus aliens. They think it's more likely it's aliens when it's obviously taking off, flying around. People thought the Elon Musk satellites were aliens, even though he told them that he was launching a bunch of satellites. And what do you think of Elon Musk?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think he's not going to bite the hand that feeds him at this point because he's getting so much money for SpaceX. There are big financial interests behind that. And as you know, the Tesla car is not a Tesla. His Tesla motor company, if it was a true Tesla, would not have to be plugged into the coal-fired grid. It would be pulling energy out of the zero-point energy.
Sure, I'm just saying from your sources, there's different arms of this thing. Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
I think he's sort of in the middle trying to get power and move up the chain. That's how I would see that. I was talking about Senator John Warner. You know, he was a conservative Republican from my state here in Virginia. He was a very low-level person who was read into this. He was not involved in the criminal activities. So, people have to understand the compartmentalization, and there's a rank and file and order of these covert operations, which are called unacknowledged special access projects. That's why we did the documentary Unacknowledged. It's had 650 million people around the world see it, by the way. So I think what we're trying to do is, put this together in a way the public can also take an action path. So when we create this documentary, we're going to release it to the public open source, basically, to use
this technology. Well, that's beautiful. Listen, we're almost out of time. And by the way, you're not exaggerating. I've seen your films up there with like on one platform, 190 million views. So just one of your films, I guess on YouTube, I saw a year ago or so. You're saying that one film, total platforms, 600 plus million. That's got to be the biggest online film ever.
Yes, it is. And a lot of those were black sites because, we had a film distributor's commercial. Frankly, I'm a retired doctor. I don't really give a rat's ass about money. I care about getting the truth out. Look, my wife and I are going to have our 42nd anniversary in August, and I'm expecting my 11th grandchild. I want to see a beautiful planet left for them, right? I know that's what you want to.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us one more time about the special Sunday event because I want to watch that as well.
Yeah, so you can go to SiriusDisclosure.com, SiriusDisclosure.com, and it's going to be a five-hour webinar with Wernher von Braun spokesperson, myself. We're going to have Russian generals and cosmonauts confirming that the extraterrestrials are here, but they're not hostile, and confirming.
Well, by the way, a bunch of the astronauts at the moon, they reported they were being followed.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, and of course, I think my uncle worked on designing the lunar module. The landed on the moon in 1969 with, he worked for Northrop Grumman. Oh, it was Grumman back then.
Well, my buddy died. So, you talked about this in a longer show. My buddy died a few years ago, but he's on the famous, Apollo program, Mission 1. He had two backups. He's the main guy running the radio and the TV cameras on the moon. He said, undoubtedly there was stuff up there following around, but they'd have guys come in and say, don't talk about that. There's definitely stuff going on out there. All right. Yep. Dr. Greer, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you. Folks, the film is available on DVD. Again, they've been suppressing it. It's been banned off Amazon. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. We're selling them as low as $3.95 a piece. You can give them to folks at InfoWarsStore.com. And it deals with the whole globalist depopulation program.
Dr. Greer was stating that these people running these deep space programs or these secret space programs are tied into the occult in a really deep way. And he described them as Satanists and so forth. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a very, very wicked group at the top of the pyramid. And they're raising hell with us. Now we've got this COVID-19 that is being used to shut us down and control us more and more each and every day. But anyway, coming up next is an interview that Richard Rees had with Patrick Byrne at a Thrive Time show last Friday and Saturday up in Tulsa. And, boy, that Patrick Byrne, he's right on top of this. Here we go next with that.
Welcome once again, folks. Richard Reeves with TheSecretTruth.com. We've got Randall Mock and George Butler behind the scenes producing the program, and we are honored to have with us right now Patrick Byrne, who was famous in his own right with Overstock.com before this election sham ever occurred in 2020, but he's going to be here and bring us up to speed and up to date with what's happened post January 6th, post the big insurrection. Give us a kind of an update of what's going on between January 6th and right now.
Well, since January 6th, which was a mistake, and I hope that our side learns, we never want to bring violence. They want us to go violent now so they can crush us. Do not use violence. With civil disobedience. We, Biden was inaugurated, and we have to follow, you know, however, what's been going on is we've continued our research. We have no question anymore that this was rigged. Mike Lindell's out, has announced he's bringing something on Tuesday. I know the data that he's talking about, and he's not bluffing. We have the whole thing. We have the computer records.
The electronic vote fraud is going to be blown wide open,
yep,
right?
Yep, it's going to, on Tuesday. And on Tuesday and over the following 2 or 3 weeks, think of it like a poker hand where we're laying out, well, I don't know, you don't do that in poker, but you're laying out one card after another. We don't want to hit the whole world with everything at once, but you will over 2 or 3 weeks see a piece of evidence after evidence. But what comes out Tuesday is going to shock you. And what it, that will be going to the Supreme Court. I cannot imagine the Supreme Court turns this down. I cannot imagine. If they turn this down, I can't imagine half the country has, you know, if they turn, I can't imagine the Supreme Court's going to turn a blind eye to the data that has now been developed, the data and the whistleblowers.
Well, I hope not, but it's been frustrating to see and watch that we had a failed election in November. Trump takes action and tries to go to the judicial branch, and they failed to take action. We went to the state legislative branches and ultimately the federal legislative branch, and it failed. So we're getting to a point where we're running out of political options here.
Well, Trump failed there because his own administration was corrupt, and the people around him were corrupt, and they wanted him to fail. We had everything he needed to win this, but he had people surrounding him who gave him terrible advice, and some of them were so bad. We think they were working for the opposition, frankly. And that's not just some crazy paranoid thing. I worked with all these people for several months, and some of them were so bad that everyone who interacted with them all started asking each other. People started asking, "Is there any chance these guys are working for the other side?" Because they were so obstructionist and didn't seem intent at all on winning.
And actually, you're the key individual that really broke that wide open. Because I know you talked about how on December 18th, the Friday, you, Sidney Powell, and Michael Flynn, I believe, right, General Flynn, got into the White House and used the Jedi mind trick, et cetera, to get in.
Yes, sir.
And then you kind of learned, you, with your experience as a CEO and your business experience, you were able to discern and read between the lines to find out he had enemies within. And then when the press starts making negative and erroneous and lying about you, then you decide, hey, I'm going to tell my piece. So tell folks a little bit about that.
Well, I was in on December 18th with Mike and Sydney and one other female lawyer. We're keeping her name out of things. And, it was evident within 20, 30, 40 minutes that the people around Trump wanted him to lose. I had over 2 or 3 months gotten to know some people in the administration, getting to know some staffers and such, and they were telling me that much of the leadership of the White House was secretly pulling the younger staffers aside and telling them, listen, help us get the president into transition mode. Help us get the president to concede. That's all they wanted. And this was the leadership in the White House.
Did that include Rudolph Giuliani on that, or do you know?
I don't know. I never heard that Rudy said anything like that. But Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone were both quoted to me numerous times as telling staffers that. And the staffers were saying it, that they had, you know, to me, having heard it directly from Meadows. With Rudy, I have trouble. I would never accuse. So I've always loved Rudy, America's mayor, and so forth. He was very hard to read through this. It was, I'll put it this way, his team was so bad. The higher-ups on his team around him were so bad. We all really thought these people must be employed by the opposition. They were blocking things. They had no interest in digging or learning anything. They just seemed to be about shutting down everything they could. I don't think Rudy, I would never accuse Rudy of that. But at the very least, Rudy was way out of his element. He's a 76-year-old man who does not do his own email. And was he really? And he sleeps late.
So he wasn't at the top of his game.
He was not at the top of his game. It's not clear if he was even... He either wasn't even trying to play, or he's just a 76-year-old guy who should never have been given a case this big. And it was an unforced error, I'm sorry to say, on the part of President Trump to keep Rudy in charge. This was way beyond him, but I promise there were people working under him who were so awful to work with that we all largely came to think these people may, in fact, be trying to disrupt this and block their from being in
the project. Kneecap in the operation.
Day after day.
Right, right. And one of the curious things that I observed was that we had a Supreme Court case filed by 17 states, I think like first or second week in December.
All right.
Made a lot of news, and Giuliani came in and dovetailed in with those 17 states and came on as a plaintiff to the lawsuit. But what I was curious about is where was his lawsuit? Where was Giuliani's lawsuit up to the Supreme Court? There was, had it not been for Texas and the other states that joined in on that, I don't think that Giuliani would have filed at the Supreme Court even.
Giuliani's people told me that his initial plan post the election loss, that he came in a couple days later, and all he really wanted to do was file three token challenges in three states, just sort of file a form, and then tell the president, well, we tried.
He had basically just kind of go through the motions and take the loss.
He had no ambition of doing anything. And when we tried to talk to him about the magnitude of what was going on, he just shut it all down. He said, we're not going to talk about election fraud. He was willing to talk about things like 211 dead people voted in Philadelphia and, you know, 800 illegal immigrants voted in Atlanta or something. He was not ready to discuss anything along the lines of that the system, the election systems themselves were corrupt.
Right.
He absolutely refused to go there.
He was an electronic vote fraud denier, basically, right?
Yeah, he was the great, great phrase, election fraud denier.
Electronic vote fraud denier.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
Both are true. So, really, that was a big frustrating thing for me to learn about that and hear about that. So, I guess the good news is this electronic and election vote fraud that occurred in 2020, most of the time, these things die and go away shortly after the election. But the good news is, in this case, this is not going away, right?
Correct. And this is, you know, for decades, we've been hearing this phrase, American exceptionalism. Well, this is our chance to find out how exceptional we are, because this has happened to dozens of countries, and they've been swallowed up by authoritarianism. And this is our chance to show, you know, like that old joke, you got the Distinguished Flying Cross, go do some Distinguished Flying. We've been telling ourselves and telling the world for decades, we are the exceptional country. Well, now it's our chance to show it.
Put up or shut up.
Put up or shut up.
Right.
And I'm comfortable with our odds.
Well, good. Well, and this event speaks a lot towards our odds. I've had a great experience here. The people here are tremendous. Tell us about the experience you've had here at this event.
Oh, how tremendous. And what I've learned is really the Christian community is going to play a key role in what happens. We need a network, a grassroots network, because the other side is going to go full authoritarian. When we pull out this information, they're going to go full authoritarian. And it's, to me, the community that keeps the principles alive and keeps the truth alive is this community. So I've been very pleasantly surprised over the last few months. I don't normally think of myself I was raised Catholic. I haven't been in a church since I was about 16, probably.
But you're in one now.
I'm in one now. But I have learned over the last few months, the community that really keeps that cherishes the values, the constitutional principles and values of our country is this community. And you know, if and when we win, and I think we will win, that this community is going to be at the center of that.
Leading the charge.
Yep.
Well, Patrick Byrne, thank you for being our guest, and we know that there's a lot of folks wanting to talk to you, so we'll let you go.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you, sir.
Good to talk to you.
Patrick Byrne was in there trying to do the best thing he could in trying to expose this falseness of this election. And there was just multiple fraud. Right now, they're in Arizona auditing the Maricopa County ballot results of this presidential election. And there's a temporary halt or pause by one of the judges out there because the Democrats are raising hell about the process not being right and being taken to extremes by the Republican, you could say people counting, the recounting and so forth. But anyway, we expect that to return here pretty quick. We're going to finish with Dr. Simone Gold. We're going to replay, last week we played her interview, but we're going to replay it again because we think it's so valuable. Here we go with Simone Gold, and she put together a lot of doctors to expose this COVID-19. Here we go with her.
Hi, this is Richard Reeves once again with thesecrettruth.com. We've got George Butler and Randall Mock producing the show here, and we've got Dr. Simone Gold, famous insurrectionist of all things, which I'm sure she's here to tell us the real truth on that. So, Dr. Simone Gold, I had the pleasure of seeing you at Rodney Brown's church in Tampa before the crazy event that went down. So, tell us a little bit about that time frame of what was going on, and weave in a little bit of what's going on with COVID that you see going on.
First of all, I really enjoyed my time with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. I just want to give a shout out to him because it was a fantastic experience, and a lot of people all across the world saw that video, so I'm super grateful that people had that opportunity. And as you noted, a few days later, I was an invited speaker to speak at the Capitol on January 6th. I spoke on January 5th. Right in D.C., and then January 6th, I was supposed to speak at the Capitol. I was there as an invited speaker. I accept all invitations to large crowds because I'm so heavily censored on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I arrived, the speakers were canceled. We don't know why. To this day, they were canceled. But I proceeded to do what I always do, which is to speak publicly. There was a large crowd
there.
You're
all about getting the word out.
I'm all about getting the word out. If it's small or big, I get the word out. So I did speak publicly, and really I didn't think anything of it. Where I was very, very peaceful. There was certainly no violence of any kind. I would never participate in anything violent. Obviously, I try to save lives. And that
You're
was
really
it.
Trying to save lives, whereas the Dr. Fauci's of the world, they're not talking about vitamin D, or they're not talking about any kind of supplements to try to boost your immune system at all. I mean, you're really here to save lives.
Genuinely so. You know, I'm a doctor, and I'm a daughter of a doctor, and my whole life is about medicine and just helping people, and I didn't like the lies. That's why we spoke out publicly. But on that particular day, I gave my speech, and later on we found out that there was such a big to-do in the media for what had happened, and I did see some pockets of violence on television. However, where we were was completely peaceful.
So you didn't even see any of that?
We didn't see any of that, and we watched.
So the news media totally took little bits and concocted it into the big thing.
It was overwhelmingly peaceful. It was kind of joyful. People were like, back the blue, people were singing, people were praying.
It was like this event. This is a marvelous event here.
It was completely just a joyous, happy experience, and we enjoyed ourselves, and later we went to dinner, and then we found out that this was a big thing, and this was very shocking, and then we heard I was on a FBI list, which was ludicrous. I'm literally a doctor, lawyer, mom, public speaker. What are you talking about? I thought it was a joke. And 2 weeks later, the FBI... they arrested me, and you know, I will say, you know, we grew up thinking that the FBI was a revered institution that we should respect, but let me tell you, I don't know who's making the decisions at the FBI, and this is what I mean. Do you need 20 officers with 12 guns drawn on me breaking down my door?
No, that's like Sam Montoya, one of the videographers that works with Infowars.com that went into part of the Capitol. They did a similar thing to him. So basically, they're cherry-picking all of us patriots and people that love freedom, and they're doing these Gestapo tactics and they busted his door down too. So they're basically taking as many folks, I guess. I don't know where they're going to limit it. I don't know if they're just going to limit it at the number of people that were inside the Capitol. But my guess is potentially they may even round up the ones that were where the barricades were at one point in November and December. So who knows what lengths they're going to take it to. But bottom line is... What's going on with your case? Is it going to be disposed of? What can you tell us? You probably can't tell us everything that's going on, but tell us what you can.
Right. So of course, lawyers never want you to speak up publicly. However,
right,
it just has to go through its legal process. Okay. Cases, they're taking a very long time because they did this to so many people. I understand there's about 400 people like myself that they've pulled in. I don't know any of them.
And they're also using COVID to drag it all out.
Yes, so they are using COVID to, you have a legal right to a speedy trial, but it's utterly impossible at the moment. My understanding is that even the judges are getting frustrated at the fact that the government isn't turning over evidence. There's never going to be any evidence of anything other than what I've said I've done, which is speak publicly.
Right.
So I actually look forward to my day in court. There will be no plea bargain from me. I've done nothing wrong.
Right.
And I look forward to my day in court. The government will either drop their charges against me or they'll be court. You know, I just don't believe a jury of Americans will have any problem with what I did.
Total jury nullification is what needs to happen in your case.
Yes.
No doubt, absolutely. And it should be interesting to see. Will there be any level of discovery that you'll be able to find out more information about the wrongdoings of the government in this case? And not just the government, but also the media, what they did.
Right. So, I don't know exactly all the ins and outs of the particulars. I know that I was a person who was very peaceful, mm-hmm. speaking out loud, asserting my First Amendment rights, and that's what I know for certain.
Okay.
So that's what
we're
going
to do. I know you're short on time, so let's shift gears a little bit and tell us what are the latest things regarding COVID here in the last couple of months.
Right. So first of all, I want everybody to be reassured that they don't need to live in fear of COVID-19.
Right.
If you come down with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, you should be on an early treatment medicine. That's hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide. If your doctor won't prescribe this, shame on your doctor. But you can come to americasfrontlinedoctors.org and you can sign up with a telemedicine visit. And our doctors are knowledgeable about these things and will prescribe it to you and will mail it to your home. So first of all, don't live in fear. Do not live in fear. Second, if you feel like your civil liberties are being abridged, again, come to americasfrontlinedoctors.org. We've set up a legal section. There's so many constitutional infringements that are happening. Forced to wear masks, or we're talking about forced vaccines. We're going to help you. We're pairing people up with attorneys, and we're also teaching people their legal rights on americasfrontlinedoctors.org. We now set up a legal section. We got it ready in time for this conference. We ask you to use it. And the third thing is we've set up a citizen corps. People want to know what can they do to, you know, what can I do to volunteer to help myself or make sure that our Constitution stays intact? Come to americasfrontlinedoctors.org, sign up for the Citizen Corps. In your neighborhood, you'll be able to find like-minded people. You'll be able to do fun activities. We do things called masquerades.
Organize,
but and we make it fun. So if you want to go into a store without a mask, we call that a masquerade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you want to have dinner parties, et
cetera. Love that.
Citizen Corps at americasfrontlinedoctors.org.
Hmm. So what state are you based in? I'm just curious.
Unfortunately, California.
California? Okay, well, please, you should connect. You probably know Lee Dundas, right?
Oh, my God, a warrior, a fierce warrior.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. This lady here is Dr. Simone Gold connecting with Lee Dundas. Totally New World Order. Watch your butt. We're going to kick y'all's butt. We got the women coming on board in a big fashion now. It's lovely to see.
Thank you.
Simone Gold, any last words for our audience, and thank you for coming on.
So important not to live in fear. There's no reason to live in fear. And when you take back your joy, you'll have the energy to fight. Come join the Citizen Corps, americasfrontlinedoctors.org.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to this presentation. This is George Butler. We're going to close out here in a few. The Nazi thing can't be overemphasized because that's what happened after World War II. And these groups like the World Economic Forum and all that, and the Bilderberg Group, they were rife and full of Nazis that they're not called that anymore, but they head up, you could say, corporate fascist type of thinking and groups. And that's what's taking us down, and it's really dangerous, and we're in big trouble. We've got to wake up. We've got to get woke, but really awake. We've got to become enlightened about this whole system. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. Good night.